This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Robert Mueller's team got their first indictments this week as part of the ongoing investigation into possible ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. Former campaign manager Paul Manafort and ex-campaign aide Rick Gates turned themselves into the FBI. They pleaded not guilty to charges that include conspiracy against the United States. But another former advisor to the Trump campaign pleaded guilty. Court documents reveal that George Papadopoulos admitted to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russia. How will all of this influence the investigation? Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, the U.S. House Republicans released their tax bill yesterday. They hope to pass that measure by the end of the year, but not every Republican is on board just yet. Here to talk about that and much, much more is political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Hey, I have to talk about the latest news first, which is breaking news. U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl received a dishonorable discharge but will avoid prison time for desertion and misbehavior before the enemy after abandoning his outpost. This is all the more interesting because of President Trump's comments about him during the campaign, harshly speaking about Bergdahl before he was tried and during the campaign, to the point that the judge in this case said, quote, "I will consider the president's comments as mitigation evidence when I arrive at appropriate sentence." And now we learn there's been no prison time. What do we make of this?
You know something? I mean, presidents have weighed in on controversial cases in the past. I remember Bill Clinton during Oklahoma City talking about the bombers who we didn't even know who they were, calling them killers, and they should be treated as killers. But Donald Trump has this way. He's done the same thing with the truck bomber who killed 8 people in New York City this week, that he'll comment, his comments on cases that are still being decided can very well hurt the prosecution's case. When Trump said that Bergdahl should be executed, you know, or released, you know, or sent back to the Taliban, that obviously it endangers the possibility of due process and getting a fair trial. And that's exactly, as you point out, Frank, that's exactly what the judge said when he said he was going to decide his decision, make his decision. And then Trump, with the New York City killer, he said he should get the death penalty. Now, of course, when you're putting together a jury, look, there was a heinous act in New York that resulted in the death of 8 and the injuries of so many more, especially in the name of ISIS. But when you have the president of the United States saying he should get the death penalty, that affects people, and it weighs in. And again, once again, you have questions about due process. And Trump doesn't seem to care about that.
Well, and it affects people. It affects the process, as may have taken. And certainly the judge said precisely that in this case. So we will see going forward. Well, let's talk about some other legal action. This is indictments much closer to the president. Paul Manafort and Rick Gates now under indictment. What does this mean for next steps?
Well, we don't know yet. I mean, when the Manafort and Gates indictments were announced, that it was on, as you say, tax fraud and money laundering and things like that, the White House, you saw Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the president all say, well, this has nothing to do with the campaign. This is, you know, before Manafort even came on board as the campaign manager for a bunch of months in 2016, that this is about his clients and his working with clients and pro-Russian clients in Ukraine. But an hour later was the announcement that George Papadopoulos, I guess after he left ABC News, it's a different guy.
Wrong guy.
A different guy. But George Papadopoulos announced that not only did he plead guilty, but he was arrested. He pleaded guilty, and he's cooperating with Mueller, saying that he's worked with Russians who have tried to get, basically who had information, dirt on Hillary Clinton, and Papadopoulos was trying to get people in the Trump campaign, including Donald Trump, meetings with Putin and meetings with the Russians. So if you're looking for collusion, maybe you see something like that with Papadopoulos. And if Papadopoulos is talking, as he seems to be doing, maybe there's more about Manafort and Gates. But again, a lot of this is speculation. And again, the White House is saying that this was an unpaid volunteer. He had no influence. There was no meeting with the Russians. And the media is making a big deal of this. We'll see.
Well, let's talk about, and even the strategy, Mueller's strategy here, because, you know, know, it's very difficult to get a conviction on the actual conspiracy and tie it to the people at the top. And prosecutors know this, even with eyewitness testimony. It's his word against mine, etc. But as we've said for so many decades, it's always the cover up and not the crime. And what about the possibility that Mueller's rattling a few cages here, perhaps pushing the president to act precipitously?
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, they were already talking about whether Trump could even pardon Manafort, which, of course, he's entitled to do. But then when you start talking about pardoning and then you talk about, you know, more indictments and more resignations, of course, the mind immediately goes back to the Saturday Night Massacre and Watergate. Look, there are conclusions that may be too soon to talk about. But the fact is that once you have somebody talking, once you have somebody who's already pleaded guilty, there could be more names involved and there could be more plea deals dangling in front of the people who are already under indictment, like Manafort, who may be induced to talk because of what Papadopoulos may know or may not know. Again, a lot of this is speculation.
Let's talk about a tax bill. The Republicans have come up with a tax bill. They're hoping for a score on this one. Republicans are not doing so well with some of their big priorities, not able to repeal ACA. Tax bill, tax cut, a kind of a must for the Republicans at this point, isn't it, Ken?
They say that they have nothing to show the voters in 2018. They've got to pass that, given, as you say, their failure to repeal and replace Obamacare. But this is not a done deal because, first of all, it's, you know, there are a lot of controversies here, and especially among the middle class. We talk about lowering the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20%, and yes, we eliminate the estate tax, which of course helps wealthy Americans. But there are a lot of deductions being taken away from middle class, like, you know, how much deductions on medical expenses, deductions for mortgage deductions. When you pay your mortgage payments, you can get rid of, use those deductions. A lot of those deductions are going away, and they have to go away for the Republicans, because otherwise it adds $1.5 trillion to the deficit. The Republicans keep talking about how they're so conscious of being fiscally responsible, but when you have a tax plan that adds $1.5 trillion to the deficit, you've got to get money somewhere, and maybe ending deductions is one way of doing it. But if you do that, you alienate the middle class, and two, it takes away the argument that you're doing this to help the middle class.
And the mortgage deduction, to be clear, would be limited, not eliminated, but still.
Limited, that's true. It's going to sick deductions, it would be a deduction for medical expenses would be eliminated. The ones for mortgages, it would be limited. That's correct.
So there's a big fight there. Lobbyists obviously not for it. Again, you can imagine a middle class uprising. But also, if you talk about eliminating or reducing the deduction for state taxes and property taxes in high tax states like New York and New Jersey, some Republicans not happy with that.
And California as well. And guess what? New York, New Jersey, and California are all blue states. So you wonder if there's some kind of calculation that, I mean, I'm not saying this is cynical, or am I? but there are the people in these high tax states like New York, New Jersey, especially with property taxes in New Jersey, they will not do, those taxpayers will not do as well as some middle class taxpayers in lower tax states.
It's one thing to punish the voters, but another to punish the Republicans who also had been elected in that state.
That's exactly right. And again, once again, as we saw with the Affordable Care Act, there is going to be a conflict among them to go along with their party, desperate for victory, or be loyal to the taxpayers who may suffer in those states.
We talked about the ACA. I wonder about this, though. We, you know, obviously the Republicans, the Democrats in the Senate locked arms and all opposed Republican efforts to repeal and replace. Are we going to see that same kind of solidarity in the House, a much more diverse group, over tax cuts?
I think yes. I mean, I think there's probably, I mean, obviously there will be some outliers, some of the lawmakers in the states we talked about, the New York, New Jersey. But you remember a lot of the Republicans who opposed Trump on health care, like John McCain, for example, mm-hmm. and like other Republicans, they're all in favor of it. They all feel that these tax cuts are good for the party and good for the country. So I kind of think that the Republicans are more united over tax cuts than they were over health care. But if this will raise the deficit, you'll need 60 votes to pass this in the Senate. and that's going to be a tough road to climb.
I want to talk about a redistricting case here in North Carolina. Federal judges reviewing North Carolina's legislative district maps have ordered a special master to redraw them. They've sent it back to the legislature, Republican-controlled legislature, twice. Said, all right, twice, two strikes, you're out. We're going to send it to the expert in Stanford. What do you make of this?
Well, that's interesting because basically they're telling the legislature, you've had several attempts to redraw the lines because there's unconstitutional, there's racial gerrymandering going on, and each time we ask you to redraw it, nothing gets changed. So they go into a Stanford University professor who is an expert on these kind of things. He's helped draw lines in districts around the country. Of course, Republicans in the legislature are crying foul that he has a conflict of interest, that we're the ones who should be doing this. But it just shows. But here's the thing, though. The filing deadline for the candidates running for the legislature in 2018 is next February. So they're going to have to do something very quick. This professor is going to have to draw the lines very quickly, and they're going to have to be approved because we're running out of time.
We are running out of time. In 30 seconds, can you tell us about the Virginia governor's race?
That's a big one. It's obviously, it's Ed Gillespie, the Republican, against Ralph Northam, the Democrat. The polls seem to show where the Democrats with a slight lead, but Gillespie is running basically a Trump campaign, talking about monuments and heritage and things like that. Don't be surprised if the Republicans do it. Democrats are very nervous about Virginia because they fear that if the Republicans win it in 2017, it'll hurt. The Democrats will find themselves without really a strategy how to deal with Trump and the Republicans in 2018.
Political junkie Ken Rudin, always a pleasure, Ken. Thank you so much.
Frank, was that 30 seconds?
That was actually 27.
Oh, good. It worked.
Did a great job. Ken Rudin is the political junkie. You can find links to his work and all the stuff we do at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the politics of DNA testing for Native communities. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.